Hi, this is Dr. Richard Maddow, and welcome to episode number 19 of the Dental Practice Fixers podcast. Thanks so much for everyone, to your loyal listenership of the Dental Practice Fixers. We really appreciate it. We love doing it for you, and we really super appreciate all the great comments that we get, emails and the like. So please continue to give us your comments. You can email us at podcasts@maddow.com. Or if you can't remember that, there's always info@maddow.com. And before I bring on our esteemed co-host, not just any co-host, but our esteemed co-host, I just ask you again, if you like what you hear, you want us to keep going, that would be great. Go on iTunes and give us a review, hopefully a 5-star review, and pass the word along to your friends that the Dental Practice Fixers is the dental podcast you need to listen to. Okay, that said, without further ado, believe it or not, right here in the studio today, we have my brother, my co-host, my business partner, my main man, Dr. David Maddow. How are you doing today, Dave?
What is going on? With that introduction, I think I should have like security here, like surrounded, like, hey, man, like all these people are going to come in and try to.
I was waiting for like some cool music to happen or fireworks to go off.
We got
anything.
Nothing.
Other than that. We save a lot of money on sound effects.
Well, other than the great intro song, which, right, by the way, I really like that one today.
Oh, thank you.
We got nothing. We just got nothing.
That's okay. Keeps the overhead low.
It does. It's great.
The overhead's very low at the Dental Practice Fixers.
Well, like I said, we're going to give some field trips of the studio. If people see our studio, if they were able to see our studio, they would say, hey, look, these guys are good. They're keeping their overhead seriously low. it's like we got the, it's a good setup with like really high quality mics, but in a small room, and it's no frills. Let's face it.
I see one frill, actually.
Well, you see one. Rich, I think maybe on our to-do list, we probably should change. I just thought about this when you were saying our email address is podcast@maddow.com, because sometimes it's hard to see whether it's plural or something.
I can never remember.
But do you know what we're going to do? We're going to make it like, how about if we make it like, we don't do it, it's not yet, so don't email us there yet, but like maybe something like fixers@maddow.com.
I don't know. People might get like spayed or neutered if they send, you know, I'll tell you something. Now, here's an idea.
What's that?
We could make it both the singular and the plural, podcast and podcasts.
No, that's way
too
easy.
There's no messing up. I mean, let's face it. We have unlimited use of the maddow.com domain.
But that's way too easy. I just figured to make it a little more complex. You know,
whenever anybody like enters the Maddow family, like my new daughter-in-law, Jess, she gets a maddow.com email.
Did she get it? She got one too?
She is Jess. I'm not going to say, because then she'll be flooded with emails.
Oh, but her name is Jess, so that's right. But we do have a limited number of those, you know. We do. Those things are, you know, you can't just give them out to everybody.
Well, I think when we get close to the limit, we'll maybe eliminate some of the older maddow.com addresses.
Like some of the ex-spouses, get rid of theirs.
I was thinking ex-employees, like our training. @maddow.com. I don't know if that still exists, but
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Let's send him an email and find out.
Hey, Dave, why don't you give a tip of the day today?
Rich, I'll tell you something. That's a fantastic idea. It's considering we like to start off each episode, and we're way past that. We're already like 3 minutes into this thing. We say within the first minute or two, we're going to give you a quick tip. So my tip today, and it's really, really, if it makes sense, because this is the end of the year. We like to keep our episodes evergreen, and we don't really like to talk about like time of the year or holidays or anything that dates it. But for some reason, it's going to be important this one to say it is the end of the year if you're listening to this when it first came out. And at the end of the year, what do docs like to do in their practice? Would they like to clean up collections, bring as much money in as they possibly can to pay off a lot of bills? We want to make it a stellar year. So if you have patients that still owe you money and it's getting towards the end of the year, which it is right now, then we recommend, if you've tried everything and you're just not able to collect from them, send them a statement of delinquency. We won't go into tremendous detail. You've probably heard about it before, but go onto our website, maddow.com, under products. It's the first product that comes up. Rich and I developed this form about 30 years ago, and it has been responsible for bringing in millions and millions and millions of dollars into dental practices, collecting from slow-paying and non-paying patients. So get your statement of delinquency. It's like a few bucks for a pack of them. You send them out, you're going to get a lot of money in towards the end of the year, which is really going to help your practice. Do it now.
Now, the statement of delinquency is what put the Maddow brothers on the map, so to speak. And 30 years later, it's still being used successfully. Unbelievable.
In a big way.
You're making me feel old.
You know, Rich, we don't talk about it that much anymore.
30 years ago, we developed this form.
When did you turn into like a religious Jewish man?
There was old Jewish man.
I'm just waiting for it to happen. And when did you have the accent? Like, when did the accent come?
Sooner or later, it's going to happen.
But yeah, I was going to say something about the statement.
It works.
That's all we have to say. It does work.
Patients come in with cash or check or credit card in hand.
Patients throw it down on the counter.
Disappeared.
Yeah.
So, hey, let's talk about something today. It's based on a podcast we did a short time ago, a few podcasts ago. I can't remember which number. We did something called the top 10 ways to get your patients to resent you. And it was kind of a tongue-in-cheek look at things that we see so many dentists and team members doing that they shouldn't be doing. And if they do these things, their patients will resent them. So we did it in that format. Do these things and your patients will resent you. Now, if you're, you know, at least a half wit, you'll understand that you're supposed to do the opposite. I mean, you know, 2/3 wit, 3/4 wit, whatever you want.
How about just a quarter wit?
Maybe a
quarter wit.
Quarter wit might not know, but at least a half wit would know.
How about a dim wit?
Dim wit, no. They would not know.
I love that term. We should bring that back at one of our dimwit. No, just any kind of wit, like half wit.
A half wit, a dimwit. I guess a dimwit's lower than a half wit.
I would think so. I guess so. Yeah. So. Dimwit's probably so. Like at least a third or lower, I'm guessing.
Okay. Well, hopefully no one's ever going to call either one of us a dimwit or even a half wit.
I just want to be called the wit kid.
I can maybe take like a 7/8 wit. It'll be okay. So, because we got such a great response to that and people loved it and they liked the tongue-in-cheek format, we're going to do something similar today. And that is the top 10 ways to get your team to resent you. Because docs and team members, you know, the team is so important. Some would say an integral part of the office. Some would say an integral part of the office. But without a great team, a happy team, a productive team, you could have the best dentist in the world and you won't be... I'm using a lot of cliches today. You won't be running on all cylinders. Now, if you have a Tesla, you're certainly not running on all cylinders, but that's a topic for a different time. But if you have a regular internal combustion gas engine and you don't have a great team, you will not be running on all cylinders. So we've got 10 ways to get your team to resent you. We're going to just go through them in listicle format.
I think listicle.
I'll do the odds, Dave. You'll do the evens. How's that?
Oh, yeah. That's good. But who goes first?
I think number one is odd, so it's also prime. I'll do the prime numbers.
How about you do the prime, I do the non-prime. I wonder how that would turn out.
Let's not do that, but I guarantee that I'll do all the prime numbers because I think an even number can't be a prime number.
That's exactly
right. It's divisible by two, so I'll do all the prime numbers and the odd numbers.
And how about if I just do pi?
You do the subprime numbers.
Subprime. Just get into it.
Okay, let's talk about the top 10 ways to get your team to resent you. The first way is be a cheapskate. Your team will really resent you if you're a cheapskate. And this kind of makes me reflect back on my first job as a dentist. After I finished my residency, I was an associate. An associate's kind of weird. You're kind of in between the doctor and the team member. But I worked for the biggest cheapskate dentist. He wasn't ranking very high in my list of dentists who know how to spend money, if you know what I mean. He actually, first of all, he made me use this handpiece. I had one handpiece and it didn't work and it would just squirt water out all over. It was like a fountain every time I was working on a patient.
But how did you treat patients?
And that sucked. Well, it was like a water park in my treatment room. But the worst thing, I remember I did a surgical extraction one day, maybe I'd been there for 3 weeks and it was the first time I ever wanted to suture something up and I couldn't find any sterile sutures in my treatment room. My assistant didn't know where they were. So I went and asked the dentist, where are the sterile sutures? And he said, oh, sterile sutures are really expensive. I use those, but since you're just an associate, you have to get a spool of black thread. Now, if you're listening, I swear this is true. A spool of black thread and sterilize it and use that as your suture material. I walked out.
What do you like? Hook a sewing needle?
I'm not sure. I actually left. I think back in his day, they had like the thread. You could thread a suture needle. So maybe not that crazy. But I just remember the guy was so cheap with the team and the team resented him. And one thing he did that was absolutely horrible. If he was having a little cash flow problem, he would pay himself and not the team members. So the team members would get, they'd get a little note in their envelope on Friday saying that paycheck's going to be a little bit late. Now,
oh my God.
Well, he couldn't hold team members.
Did that happen often? I'm just curious.
It happened often.
Did it really?
I don't know. I wasn't there that long, but I saw it happen at least twice. I remember one time he told the whole, we'll get to this later, but he was going to take everyone to a CE event and then decided at the end only he would go and he'd come back and give us all a little course. And he came back and said, oh, I just learned I'm doing everything right. So don't be cheap. I mean, look, Dave and I love low overhead. We don't believe in big tech spending. We believe in really watching your expenses. We like low rent. We like, you know, non-fancy things. But There are times when you need to spend some money for the benefit of the practice and the team and the patients, and you need to know when those times are, and don't be a cheapskate.
There you go.
Number one.
Hallelujah. Number two is to tolerate. You got to, if you want your team to resent you, tolerate an insubordinate team member. Rich, it's funny. So you just gave an example from your associateship or one of your associateships. I got a crazy story from one of mine as well.
Let's hear it.
Well, because I know exactly what we're going for on this. Do you remember I used to work for that guy, Dr. Wayne?
I remember Dr. Wayne, real sports nut.
Yeah, he loved sports. Yeah. All he talked about was sports. Yeah. But he had a there was a team member there. Her name was Karen. I hope they're not listening to this thing. I think there's no way they know about us. But her name was Karen, and she was, I guess you could say, she was insubordinate, because like she just always went against the rules. But he definitely, you could tell he definitely favored her. And whenever she would do something wrong or against the rules or whatever it might be, he gave her she had a lifetime free pass. And you could tell how everybody, whether it's another associate there or another team member or whoever it might have been there, just resented this woman. She wasn't really, well, she was doing something wrong by being insubordinate, but he was then saying that's okay. And it just caused like a tremendous problem in the dental office. And it's funny, I ended up leaving there too. I couldn't stand it. Nothing was fair there.
Yeah. Everyone has to play by the same rules.
They really do. Yep. Yeah. It's not, yeah, exactly.
Isn't Karen the same person that claims she never defecated?
How did you know about that?
I just remember you told me years ago, and I thought, well, that's really unusual. I've never met anyone that didn't eliminate feces from their body. So
she claims she never did. But I ran into her a few weeks ago. She looked like this big, big blimp. It was like everything was accumulating. It was like the thing must have been tremendous.
Well, maybe it was true then.
Stick like a pin in it.
Crazy maybe stuff, man. Maybe it
was
true. Now,
but the only problem is that was like 30 years ago.
Well, I think she probably would have had some severe health problems by now.
Or some type of explosion or something.
Some type. Been banned from all restaurants.
Especially Double T.
Right. Okay. The third way to get your team members to resent you is to criticize them in front of others. Now, we all know that when you're the dentist, you're the boss. And we all know that there are times you need to critique or give your team member an opportunity to improve by criticizing them. Of course, that's just part of, you know, having a boss and having a team. But never, ever, ever do it in front of others. Dave, in our travels, we've seen team members be criticized in front of patients, mm-hmm. in front of other team members, in the reception area. I feel like we've seen it all. So if you need to, and I hate to even use the word criticize, but whatever it is, if you need to.
How about critique? Critique is a nicer way to say criticize, I think.
Try to model someone's behavior into something a little bit different.
Yeah.
Do it in private. Do it with sympathy. We always like the old compliment, critique, compliment sandwich. Give a compliment, do the critique, then come back with a compliment to make them feel good. The thing to do in front of others is to praise. If you need to praise, and praise anything, always praise your team members in front of patients and in front of other team members. But if you really want them to resent you, critique them in front of others.
Yeah, but these days you can get sued for praising. You got to be careful. These days you got to be like, it's hard to praise sometimes because anything can be taken
wrong. I'm not saying you should say, hey, you look sexy today, baby. I mean, that's not that's not praise. Praise is you did a fantastic job on that shade match. Look how good it looks. Oh. Or that's a beautiful temporary, Teresa.
I think you might be able to get sued for that.
I really appreciate the way that you you calmed down Mrs. Brown during her treatment. She was so anxious and you did a great job. Those, you know, things like that. I don't think you'll get sued for any of those. I mean, you never know.
These days you never know. Yeah. But yeah, that's good stuff there, Rich. Yeah. Number four. Well, it's pretty similar actually to number two because when you're doing number two, which was tolerate insubordinate team member, you're kind of showing favoritism, but I'll still elaborate on, if you want to get your team to resent you, yeah, show some favoritism. And Rich, when we've been actually into offices on coaching days where we go in and coach a whole office and we observe everything and watch them, we've seen cases of clear favoritism. I mean, one of the last ones we went to, I think you probably remember that. I mean, it was very clear the doctor favored that one assistant. And it's like, you know, you feel the tension kind of because you know it was very clear he loved her the best and everybody else is kind of second rate, and it's just not the way to. Well, if you want your team to resent you, it's the way to do it. So that's we'll stick with the way this podcast is going. If you want them to resent you, show favoritism, but otherwise you should not do that.
And how many times have we been in that situation and we say to the doctor, hey, you know, you're tolerating a certain kind of behavior, you're showing favoritism and you shouldn't do it. And their response, in some way or another, they would say, well, I'm really afraid of that person.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I got. Look, if I full disclosure, full transparency, as the millennials say,
that is a millennial.
Full transparency. Right. I mean, I've been guilty of that too, and I don't know if you have or not, but I'm willing to admit in my dental career and even working, you know, in our office here at the Maddow Brothers, I'm sure I've been guilty of showing some favoritism here and there. It's just some of it's human nature. But you got to be very, very careful. And if you feel you are doing it at all, everybody should be equal at your practice, and nobody should be favorites.
Yeah. And as you said, these two are very well linked. So back to number two, tolerating an insubordinate team member. We've done that here, and there have been people that we know that we should actually have to fire. I hate to use that term. I'm thinking way back a few years ago, we had somebody in a higher up position here, and we just knew this person wasn't working out.
But, he sucked.
But we didn't really want to rock the boat, and you know, we didn't have a replacement, and we just dragged it on and on and on and on. Now, we're not saying go ahead and fire people at will or for fun or, you know, indiscriminately.
It's like a hobby. Make it a hobby.
But when it's time, it's time. Good stuff, man. Okay, number five. Maybe treading on icy waters. They're not on thin icy waters. Because we don't want, right, very thin icy waters. And that is, have a dental spouse that acts like a dental spouse. Now, we know a lot of dentists have spouses work in their practice or have spouses that come in from time to time to help out in the practice. These days, actually, with more and more female dentists, which we'd love to see. Congrats, all you great female dentists out there. A lot of times they have their husbands come in and work in the office. And that's great. And if you're doing a good job and if you're a true member of the team, that's fantastic. But we've had dental spouses that act like privileged, entitled dental spouses, the old stereotype of a dental spouse. They think the practice revolves around them. Everybody's afraid of them. They come in and just expect everybody to bow down to them. That's not the way it works. If you want to have a dental spouse work in the office, and of course, it's great if your dental spouse has a lot to contribute, sure, let them come in. It's fantastic, but they need to pitch in and be a true team member. Now, there's always going to be a little bit of difference because they are married to the dentist, and we're not saying you should, you know, that that's never going to go away because it just won't. But if they act like an entitled, privileged dental spouse, the entire team will resent them and the doctor.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more. I'm going to move right on to number six, Rich.
Please do.
Number six is take CE and don't include the team. So I'm going to shoot this right back to you because you just gave a little example a little while ago in one of the other ones about how when you were an associate, the doc promised to take everybody, including you, but the whole team to a full day of CE. And then when it got closer, he said, no, I'm just going to go myself. I'm going to report back to you. So let me ask you, you weren't really a team member per se, but you weren't the owner. How did it make you feel when you were promised a day of CE and he said, I'm just going to go and I'm going to report back to you and tell you what to do? How did you feel about
that? I felt like my knowledge and my learning and the advancement of my career was not important.
Exactly. And the team, let's face it, they work really hard. They don't get to go out all the time. So look, they're probably all looking forward to a day of CE. So when the doc says, oh, I'm just going to go and your guys aren't important enough, that's a horrible thing to do. But only do this if you want the team to resent you. And not taking the team to CE is a great way because they're going to feel like they're second class and they're not important enough. Their opinions and their learning is not important enough. So do that and they will resent you. So you're doing a great job if you continue that.
Excellent. A lot of resentment happening today.
A lot of resentment. Yeah. I love resentment.
So this is the best. Okay, number seven way to get your team to resent you is never be wrong. You know, I think some of the best things you can do in life for your personal relationships and for your own well-being are to apologize and to admit you're wrong. I mean, all of us are wrong from time to time. We're probably wrong at least a few times every day. And if you're not the kind of person that would ever apologize or never admit that you're wrong, a lot of people will have ill will built up inside of them towards you. So if you want to be the kind of doctor whose team resents them, never be wrong. Never admit you're wrong. Never apologize.
Good one. Number eight, if you want your team to continue to resent you, don't have team meetings or what some people say, bitch sessions.
Or maybe if your team meetings are always bitch sessions, they'll resent you.
I think that's exactly right. But, you know, again, communication is such an important part of the practice. And team members have things they want to say that, you know, maybe they hold things in and then they're waiting for a team meeting to kind of get it out in the open. And it's usually to help the office, to make the office better. But if you don't have these, we won't call them bitch sessions, really. But if you don't have these team meetings, the team members will never really have an outlet, a way to express how they feel, what's going on. And it's going to increase anger, anxiety, and you fill in the blank, you name it. So yeah, if you want your team to continue to resent you, don't have these meetings where they'll have an outlet.
And kind of along the same lines, number nine way to get your team members to resent you is expect them to be mind readers. So you're not having team meetings, so they don't know what's expected of them. They don't get a chance to air their questions or grievances or compliments or whatever. They're not going to CE. They don't really know what's going on, but you expect them to know everything. You expect them to be mind readers. You know, one of the most frequent complaints we hear from dental assistants is, I'm a dental assistant. I'm not a mind reader. And some docs expect their team to know what they're thinking at all times. And look, it's great to be able to anticipate, to know the procedures. Of course, a dental team member needs to do that, but you're not mind readers. And if the doctor expects the dental team member to be mind readers, resentment sets in.
Resentment.
Sets in.
Resentment. Number, number 10. Number 10.
Dave, say number 10 already. Come on, what are you doing over there?
I'm not going to talk anymore about this. I'm done.
Fine.
I'm sick of this. I'm not going to do it. You probably figured it out. When you shut down, when you don't talk, when you don't communicate, that is a way to get your team to resent you, because you know you need to talk. You need communication, as we say when we do a full day of speaking. It's 80. Dentistry is 80 to 90% communication. Life is probably 80 to 90% communication. So if you get to a point where, I don't know, somebody pissed you off or you don't agree with somebody or something like that, and you just shut down and you don't communicate, that is one of the worst things you can do. And it kind of combines a lot of the things we just talked about. Even number nine, expecting teams to be mind readers. Well, if something's on your mind, they're not going to know it. You need to communicate with them. So again, if you want your team to resent you, if something bad happens, and it will, it always does, just shut down, don't communicate. And let me tell you something, brother, they will continue to resent you. So keep doing that.
It's kind of the attitude of, you know, I'm the dentist. I'm here to take care of all the clinical things, and everybody else has to do everything else. And I expect you to do that with no guidance, no instruction, no participation. You know, we're not going to encourage you, no encouragement. We just expect you to do your job.
Right.
Doesn't work.
Right. But even also, I took number 10 to be even that, that's true. But people have issues. People have problems. And when the doc sees an issue taken place and just doesn't want to get involved, or shuts down, doesn't want to talk about it, that's like another
so problem. True.
It's not good. So these are good 10 great ways to get your team to resent you. I hope you do at least half of them.
Yeah. If anybody was thinking of some, you know, thinking today, I need some good ways to get my team to resent me and make the practice worse for the patients as well. Boom. Here you go.
Do them all.
There
them
you
all.
Go.
Now, if you only want your team to resent you a little bit, maybe do two or three of them. That's all.
Pick your favorite two or three.
Right. Exactly.
All right. Well, hey, good stuff for everyone. Top 10 ways to get your team members to resent you. Let's do our call of the day.
Let's do it.
Thank you for calling the office of... How may I help you?
Hi. Yeah, I was moving here from South Carolina a little while ago, and I was told down there I need two root canals.
Okay.
But I wasn't clear. They never made it clear what a root canal is exactly. What is the root canal?
So it's when they go, it's deeper than a filling. They go into your tooth, they remove the nerve, they remove all the infection.
Oh.
They clean it out real well, and then they fill it back up with a material that should, you know, should be durable and should last and prevent it from getting reinfected. Then they fill it with like a normal filling, and they put a crown over it.
Okay. Is that painful?
It should not be painful. You are numb during the root canal. Most of the time when people say that root canals are painful, they're already in pain. They say they have like a giant infection or something like that. They're usually already in pain. So when we go to do the root canal, I mean, they're obviously already in pain. But a normal, like, you sound perfectly fine right now. You sound like you're not, you know, struggling over there. So you should be totally fine.
Good, good. That makes a lot of sense. Well, okay, I'm going to look at my calendar and I'll see if I can get back. How many appointments do we generally need for that?
For one root canal, as long as it's not like a major infection, it should be able to be taken care of in one appointment. But it is up to the doctor once they get in there. They will, you know, beautiful. Sometimes, you know, maybe a tooth that's supposed to have, you know, two roots may have three or, you know, something like that. So they might run into something that they're not expecting.
Thank you so much for the information. That was really helpful. I'll go back to my calendar and see what we got going.
Alrighty, we'll be here for you.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.
So, I don't know what to say other than, well.
First of all.
Yeah.
Before we get to the point where whether the appointment was made or not.
Yeah.
I'd say as far as an explanation of what a root canal is, we've heard much, much worse.
Not bad.
It was not bad.
It was really not bad.
And she spoke in very easy to understand, mm-hmm. what we'd call lay terms, yep. or, you know, anybody with a sixth grader could understand. And it was a pretty accurate description of what a root canal is.
It was not bad. A little deeper than a filling. Right. But I mean, it was really not bad.
A little
bad.
Deeper. I'd say a hell of a lot deeper than a filling.
It goes to the end of the damn tooth.
Right. Hopefully. Sometimes it even goes out the end of the tooth, sir.
And we don't charge extra for that.
But it wasn't bad.
But here's the deal. I'm pretty sure I said I need two root canals, right? I was told in South Carolina I need two root canals.
Okay, so you're looking at two root canals, two cores, two crowns, thousands of dollars worth of treatment.
Thousands of dollars. She didn't do anything. She didn't try to get an appointment from me. She didn't take any information. She didn't get anything else from me. So I'll tell you something. My grade has to be, she was sweet, but she has to get an F.
Now, as we always say, the doctor might be paying for some kind of marketing campaign. Maybe this patient newly moved and got a postcard at their house, mm-hmm. and they called and they asked questions, and then the doctor's going to say, oh, that marketing campaign's not doing anything.
Great example. Yep. I mean, that happens so many times. So My score is an F, man. What's yours?
I'll give her an F plus just because she gave a good description. But yeah, that click of the phone represented thousands of dollars and probably a great patient that's going to stay with the practice if they treat them well.
So I would have been a great patient. I would have been. I promise. Hey, good stuff.
Okay, well, this is Dr. Richard Maddow. Thanks for listening to episode number 19 of the Dental Practice Fixers.
Dr. David Maddow, I agree with everything Rich just said. We love you. Thanks for being a listener, a subscriber, and we'll see you next time for episode number 20.